think we will pick up this session with a presentation from Madhusudana Jenga.
Good morning. Now I'll talk about CRISPR-Cas9 mediated targeted mutagenesis in upland cotton. This genome editing efforts in plants has begun 2 decades ago, but they are not popular until recent discovery of CRISPR-Cas9. Currently, there are 4 major classes of sequence-specific nucleases available. The older sequence-specific nucleases, meganucleases, zinc fingers, talons are complex to design and use, but the CRISPR-Cas9 system is very simple, therefore rapidly adopted throughout the research community who are interested in genome editing. All these sequence-specific nucleases can be programmed to recognize a specific sequence in the genome, and they can make double-stranded breaks. When they make double-stranded breaks, that leads to cellular death. So cells try to repair this through non-homologous engineering or homology-directed repair. Actually, this CRISPR-Cas9 system is an adaptive immune system from prokaryotes that has been reprogrammed as simple FCN tool to achieve genome editing in other organisms. So basic components here for this technology we need is Cas9 protein and the guide RNA. So this Cas9 protein will have 3 important domains, REVC, HNH and C-terminal. Here REVC and HNS domains make the double strand break. So initially, Cas9 protein and single guide RNA, they make a RNA protein complex and try to recognize the target sequence in the genome. When they recognize target sequence, Cas9 protein will make double strand break exactly third base upstream of the PAM sequence. So once this double strand break occurs, cells tries to repair this through either non-homologous engineering or homology-directed repair. If it is through non-homologous engineering, we will see some deletions or insertions of nucleotides in the targeted region. But if it is through homology-directed repair, we need to supply a donor template that will contain 3 portions, left homology arm and right homology arm, and in between we can incorporate any desired nucleotides. Sometimes this homology-directed repair can even occur from the sister chromatid that has already the same homology with this. So in several important crops already, CRISPR-Cas9 system has been established. Here we wanted to try and see how it works in cotton. As we all know, cotton is tetraploid. For every target gene that we want to target, at least we'll have a 4 copies, and thus it makes more complex to understand and follow these mutations at nucleotide level. So initially, to understand this system, we have chosen a GFP transgenic line that has single copy and homozygous. Since we use this GFP here, it allowed us to follow these mutations easily, and at nucleotide level also, because of this single copy gene, we could resolve the sequences mutations easily. So in the initial step in the genome editing is to select the target sequences in the genome. There are several tools available to design this scRNAs. We used a scRNA scorer that has given several target sequence options. Here we choose 3 of them that has different prediction scores. This tool also gave us the prediction efficiency scores. So we picked high, low, and medium prediction score that has given that target sequences. So in the GFP sequence, as you can see here, T1, T2, T3, those are the target sequences we have selected. And here the green sequence is the target sequence, and the red is the PAM sequence that we have chosen. Once we select the target sequences, the next step is to make the vectors. So So we have made three different vectors, and each of these vectors contains three different cassettes. The first one is hygromycin cassette that helps to select the transformed cells. And Cas9 sgRNA are required for the genome editing. The only difference between these three constructs is 20 nucleotide target sequence that we incorporated here. Since we used the GFP, again it made us to follow these mutations easily. In these pictures you can see that cells that are fluorescing green that has not undergone any mutations, but the cells that have undergone mutations that fluoresce red because of the plastid in the cells. And first observation of the mutation we could visually see at around 20 days, but in reality mutations occur much earlier. These pictures we have taken to follow these mutations, how they progress. The same explant we captured at different ages. At 26 day, we can see very few cells that have undergone mutations. By 30 day, few more cells increased. By 40 day, most of the cells here that acquired mutations. So that means it is continuously progressing. And we even calculated these efficiencies at 26 days. In this chart, we can see the bar is, orange bar is GFP silenced cali, and green one is that is still expressing GFP. So sgRNA 2 and 3, here it gave higher efficiencies compared to this sgRNA 1. But based on the prediction tool that we used, sgRNA 2 was the lowest efficient. In the real experiments, these efficiencies changed. Next, we further continued these cali and wanted to see how they progressed all these mutations. So we excised these cali from the explants and continued to grow them on the selection media. Around 70 days, we observed these cali. We saw three different types of cali. Cali that got completely silenced and cali that has still GFP, and some of them even chimeric. Here the completely silenced cali is the result of mutations. Here each of the cell that has undergone the mutations. And the green one is still, they did not undergone any mutations. But the chimeric, we can see red fluorescing one is the one that has undergone mutations, and the green one is that still not undergone any mutations. At 70 days, their efficiencies we have seen. Again, similarly, like 26 days, they have given same result. sgRNA 2 and sgRNA 3 performed equally. And sgRNA 1 is the lowest. As we can see in these graphs, the orange one is the completely silenced cali. For sgRNA 1, it is only 6%. Next, we were curious how these mutations progress and at nucleotide level, how they look. At 120 days from the cali, we isolated DNA, subjected to PCR fragment analysis and sequence analysis. When we amplified this PCR fragment from the target sequence and sequenced them, basically four types of mutations we observed. Cali that still has the GFP did not undergone any mutations, and thus it contained wild-type sequence here. One of the cali line has given homozygous sequence that has undergone mutation with 39 base pair deletion here. We believe that this is maybe from the homology-directed repair from the sister chromatid that has already undergone this mutation. The common type of mutations we see is biallelic mutations. At two different alleles, different type of mutations will occur. And chimeric mutations in different cells, different types of mutations might occur. So chimeric mutations also we see. When we try to resolve and see the nucleotide level, the sequence differences, sgRNA 1 and 2 gave large deletions compared to sgRNA 3. And in all the cases, we even saw some nucleotide additions also. Here for each of the construct, we tried to see 10 cali lines, sequence and see the differences. Since some of them are chimeric in nature, we could not resolve with the PCR fragment sequence analysis. So we have cloned them into TA cloning vector and try to see this sequence differences. We could resolve them based on the plasmid sequencing, and there also we saw similar deletions or few base additions. Next, we even saw these mutations at nucleotide level in T0 plants. We have regenerated some plants from sgRNA2 and sgRNA3 constructs. Out of these 15 plants, we saw 3 plants that have homozygous mutations, and remaining are biallelic mutations. And there are no chimeric sequences observed in the T0 plants. So overall, from these results, we believe that this CRISPR-Cas9 system is efficiently working in cotton. Around 20 days, we saw first visual observation of these mutations, but in reality, mutations occur much earlier. And mutations were confirmed by sequencing in the calli and T0 plants. The T0 plants mostly contain biallelic mutations and even few homozygous mutations. So based on this, we suggest that more than one prediction tool should be used to find the best possible target sequences. So we acknowledge Dr. Vaitas for providing the base constructs and Texas A&M for AgriLife for funding the research. Thank you for your attention.